Jambo.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
What up, and welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, a show where we give you a review of whether or not something is worth your time, anything that you can get through any sort of digital medium. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com. or Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Music. Be sure to head to both those places, all of those places, including the website. Give us a review. Be sure to share the shows, all of the shows, not just this one, in your social networks. And then be sure to head to www.PacSync.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. PacSync is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. And as always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the black community. So the things we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community if you so desire. This week's episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be talking about the 2018 government shutdown. We will dig into the history of shutdowns, the reasoning behind this particular shutdown, and as always, things that we can learn from it as a community. And this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the shutdown. So, a little bit of history. A shutdown happens when Congress fails to pass or the president fails to sign any document or legislation that funds government operations, either in part or in full. And this can be because there are things attached to the legislation that certain parties disagree with. Could be used as a tactic when one party feels like they aren't being listened to, as has been the case recently. Or it could be simply a case of it not getting done, things getting in the way of it, oversights, various other things, as has happened in the past. But since 1976, there have been 19 gaps in budget funding. And essentially, budget funding and shutdowning have become the same thing, but they weren't always the same thing. Because of those 19 gaps in budget funding, only 8 of which actually led to a government shutdown of some sort, in part or in full. And this is largely because of the Anti-Deficiency Act. Now, the ADA was first enacted in its earliest forms in the 1870s, it became an official law in 1884, I believe it was. But it was put in place to prevent government organizations, shall we say, from intentionally blowing their budgets. The executive branch and the military in particular had a history of intentionally blowing their budgets early in the fiscal year and then telling Congress if it didn't allocate more funding, they would shut down. The ADA made this activity illegal, punishable by jail time. Now, the act has been modified several times over the decade, but it wasn't until 1980 and 81 that it became the act that mandated government shutdowns when a budget gap was present. Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti interpreted the ADA as saying that the government could not operate until Congress agrees on a spending bill, which effectively married budget gaps with government shutdowns. Prior to this, if there was a budget gap for whatever reason, the government continued to function as if there was a government allocation until a new budget was arranged. But after this, if a budget wasn't approved through this interpretation of the ADA, then those government entities that did not have a budget allocated for them had to shut down. So, essentially, when the government shuts down, people stop working and all the services that their work supports and enables stop working. and the longer it lasts, the more dramatic the effects are. Always immediate non-essential services for that particular component of the government that doesn't have a budget allocated for it. Always those immediately non-essential services are closed. And this means usually public parks, museums, and things of that nature closed down. If the budget gap is not taken care of after a few weeks, government workers who haven't already been sent home as non-essential personnel might be sent home now anyway, essential or otherwise. And this could cause disruptions in things like Medicaid, Medicare, and various other programs that have to do more with supporting the population of the workers than the actual running of the government. And it always scales back in level of importance. Things that are necessary for the government to continue to operate will continue to operate. Things that are not necessary for the government to continue to operate will gradually begin to shut down the longer this thing goes on. And if it continues even longer past those personnel and direct government things being shut down, you'll start seeing things maybe like school funding beginning to drop, which could have an immediate impact on the quality of the education, the number of teachers, substitute teachers, various other things, programs, various other initiatives, after school programs being shut down, eventually even leading to some of the schools that get a majority of their funding from the federal government being closed down altogether. So we could potentially end up with public schools closed if it continues for a long enough time. Now, at this point, it is necessary to mention that this doesn't mean that eventually the entire government will shut down. Certain employees, certain federal employees, such as the military and in some cases law enforcement, would be forced to work. They would just be forced to work without pay. And they would also be forced to work without the support of their civilian and non-essential personnel workforces, and which would essentially mean that they're doing more work for no money because they don't have the support or the structure, the infrastructure, the personnel, support personnels behind them that make their jobs easier and allow them to focus in on the things that they need to be focused in on as a necessary and mandatory personnel. So even in those senses, some mandatory government operations such as the military and other things would continue to be funded. Are not funded. They would continue to have workers, but those workers would not get paid, which creates other dynamics and other stress and other situations in and of itself. Now, moving on, this particular shutdown was caused by the Democrats largely saying not voting or voting no to a spending resolution that would have funded the government for another month because of the Republicans' refusal to negotiate on DACA. Now, DACA, which stands for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Programs, and we commonly talk about the DACA program when we utilize terms like the Dreamers. We're talking about people that have had deferred action because they arrived as children. So that's officially called the DACA program. And essentially what it does is allow people to defer removal from an illegal immigrant brought here to the United States before the age of 16 that meets other conditions for up to 2 years while also potentially providing them with a work authorization permit. And it is a program that's subject to renewal. So if your time with DACA protection runs out, you can apply for an extension to your DACA protection and potentially get it. Now, this program is in the crosshairs because Trump has said that if the DACA program isn't made a law by March of this year, he will cancel the program. It was a program that Obama started. Lots of Republicans feel like as president, he doesn't have the power. He didn't have the power to create that program. The creation of that program, amongst various other things surrounding Obamacare, actually caused a government shutdown in 2013. But Trump when he got elected, he said that because it's not constitutional, the executive branch does not have the authority to create this program, he would shut it down. He then, instead of shutting it down immediately because of the political pressure and all of the outrage, said that he would shut it down by March if Congress had not made the program a law. Congress has not moved in on the deal, and in fact, during negotiations in which a bipartisan part of Congress came together to create a bill to present to Trump, that meeting that they were having, that was the illustrious shithole shithouse comment meeting that's been getting so much attention. But either way, for whatever reason, the Democrats say that the president has backtracked and has refused to negotiate and broken his promises and things he's alluded to. They've also said that the Republicans have been dragging their feet. The Republicans, of course, they want some concessions built into this, such as funding for the wall that Donald Trump campaigned on. But suffice to say, there hasn't been a whole lot of forward progress when it comes to the DACA program and getting it made into law. So the Democrats decided that if we don't see any forward progress on this program, we're not going to vote for a spending bill and we're going to shut down the government. The Republicans tried to throw the Democrats a bone by continuing to fund the CHIP program, which CHIP stands for Children's Health Insurance Program, which provides health insurance to our health coverage to low-income children whose parents may not be eligible for Medicaid but can't necessarily afford to pay standard rates for health care insurance. And you could actually qualify for both Medicaid and CHIP, but it's basically for that gray area. So the Republicans tried to throw the Democrats a bone by continuing to fund this program, but the Democrats basically said, no, we're not going. So to the extent that there wasn't even a compromise signed to agree to funding the troops during the government shutdown, which meant that if the government had shutdown had continued for an extensive amount of time, the troops would not have been paid. So while they did reach an agreement with the Republicans to promise to bring a DACA vote to the floor of Congress, they only agreed to funding the government until February 8th, at which point we could be doing all of this all over again. So what impact does this have on the community? Now, I know a lot of you already know what this is, and those of you that don't have a solid idea have a pretty good picture. But we have to consider our involvement in government affairs in terms of receiving resources, receiving pay, workforce, various other things. We have to consider all of that. So even in terms of the military, those that would be working without pay, if a government shutdown continues for an extended period of time, that in and of itself could be something that is dramatic in our community because we make up 18% of the total active duty force. Now, this isn't something that's going to become a issue that's exacerbated with time, because every year black involvement, black enlistments in the military goes down. It's been dropping since the 90s, where in the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s, we had reached a high point of being about 25% of the total enlistment, even though we were 12 to 13% of the population, which is a huge disparity, huge overrepresentation. Now we're only at about 17% of the active duty force, which means that it's not as dramatic, but we're still overrepresented, which means that it still could hit us. And an interesting thing with all of these governmental numbers is their impact on black women particularly, because when it comes to the military, 30% of all of the women in active duty military are black women. Only 17% are black men. So that's something else we have to keep in mind, especially with the percentage of black women that are in positions of being the primary or the breadwinner, the larger share of the money bringer, homer, in a relationship. That's something that we have to keep in mind as well. So this could be potentially damaging and dramatic on that effect. But we also look at federal employment. Roughly 20% of all federal employees are black. And again, black women make up a large portion of those black people in government work, and a large portion of black women in and of themselves are that have jobs are in government work. So anytime you have a government shutdown where people could be getting furloughed or sent home or being forced to work without pay, you have a situation which could be potentially damaging for black households, black families, and their income, which has, as we all know, when you lose your money, you can't write the bank a letter or your landlord a letter or the electric company a letter or the water company a letter or anything like that saying, hey, I've been furloughed, or hey, I've been this, or hey, I've been that. You know, they might let you off for a time, but eventually they're going to want their money. So that really has a dramatic effect on us, especially when we consider the fact that we're still our community has not recovered from the Great Recession of the 2000s, 2008, 2009, 2010. We have not recovered. Matter of fact, that recession wiped out all of the gains we had made from the 1960s onwards, and some would argue from 1860 onward. So as a community that is still struggling, still living overrepresented in poverty and things of that nature, we have to consider any potential break in our income as being dramatic and something that needs to be taken care of. We move forward. 57% of all black children get health care through Medicaid and or CHIP. So that's another component of these programs. The personnel are slashed. The programs themselves are affected by government shutdowns. You're looking at almost 60% of black kids having problems getting the necessary treatment that they need to get because their insurance is broken, because we have so many of our children getting their insurance, getting their health coverage through the Medicaid or the CHIP program. And then roughly 80% of black kids attend federally funded public schools. Now, this is major because now we're talking about the education of the next generation. And however bad we think that education may or may not be, we still have to understand the fact that some education is better than no education. When you live in an environment where parents are spending all of their time working to provide for the family, and they literally don't have the time required to educate their kids, and even if they wanted to bring their kids to work, they couldn't in a lot of instances, you run into a situation where kids not being in school is far deeper than them not being educated. It's also opening up the door for them to express themselves, their discontent, their anger, and their ignorance in various other forms that are dangerous. And to go back to the employment situation one more time, I do want to make another point to say there are a lot of black families, black men, black women that work in positions, organizations, corporations, and various other things that are federally funded. So even if they aren't working for the government, they are working in a position that receives the pay through the federal government, through a grant, through some sort of allocation, through some sort of contractual obligation. So that's another way that incomes can be affected. And then you look into all of the nonprofit organizations that we have funding right now. A lot of them get their grants through government funding, government grants, and government things of that nature. So if the government is shut down and there's no money coming out, depending on which component of the government and how it's shut down, you're talking about not only people losing their income, not only children losing their insurance, not only children potentially losing their ability to go to school, but you're also talking about nonprofit organizations and various other organizations no longer being funded and no longer having the ability to perform the duties necessary to complete their mission. And those are, again, just some of the takeaways, some of the effects of a government shutdown. So what are the takeaways? Well, the biggest takeaway has to be that we are heavily dependent on the government in all areas of life. Any government shutdown that involves a loss of work or a disruption of any government activities that involves a loss of pay or loss of services affects us dramatically. And this has to be rectified because the government is not something that we can control. The government is something that operates at the whims of the social fights and the social battles that are happening across the country. And those whims and those fights and those activities are rarely centered, dictated, driven, or caused by our situations. So this means that the issues that the immigrant community has with the government negatively impacts our communities through government shutdowns. This means that potential LGBT issues negatively impact our community because of government shutdowns. This means that any activity, when you look at maybe it's even some political fight or some war, military engagement overseas, any activity that could potentially result in a stiff enough disagreement between the two parties of government that could result in a government shutdown has the ability to paralyze our community and to dramatically impact our community in a negative way. And this is something that has to be seen as unacceptable within the community. So we also have to be realistic about certain things in our numbers, in terms of total population, in terms of population percentages, in terms of our economic numbers. And the things we have to be understand about this and what this teaches us is that our numbers are very similar to those of the Hispanic community. Yet they have exerted enough political pressure to cause the government to shut down and to cause people that technically don't even have a right to vote and shouldn't have this kind of political power to shut down the government through political pressure and, in essence, and moving on, potentially affect our community. This is something that we have to understand about the game of politics, because this goes back to the days of the early 1900s and Prohibition, which was started, back, moved, supported, and spurred on by women who at the time did not have the right to vote. And we have to understand from this that exerting political power is not just about a vote. It's not just about voting, but it's about various other things involved. And it's about time that we learn the total game of politics and exerting political force. We have got to grasp hold of this concept. It is desperate, 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 desperately needed that we grasp hold of the concept of political power, political pressure, and playing the political game. And it's so much deeper than voting, because look, social disruption is a political tool. Economic disruption is a political tool. Cultural disruption is a political tool. And at the same time, so is social, economic, and cultural compliance. They are also political tools. And we need to understand that political pressure is created when you say, no, I'm not going to comply, in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And you could create an issue that creates political pressure. Likewise, political compliance is saying, or social, economic, and cultural compliance is basically saying, I'm okay with the way things are going. That is also a political statement. The LGBT community makes up less than 10% of the total population, but they have made tremendous political gains in a short amount of time because of their ability to create political pressure and to reward their political advocates through the use of political compliance, social compliance, economic compliance, cultural compliance, backing and accepting these people and other walks and other stances that they have on life. Politics is more than just voting. Not voting is also a political activity. It's more than just spending. Not spending is also a political activity. It's more than protesting. Not protesting is also a political activity. And these are the major takeaways that we need to take away from this latest event, this latest 3-day government shutdown. So I think all things involving the government should be followed. And as with all of the current events, this is another current event that is a must follow current event. And I already told you, when it comes to current events and documents, not books, but documents, I am never going to do any current event or document that I feel is not a must follow document or current event. So with that being said, definitely read up on this. Check it out. Read up on the other 19 budget gaps and the read up on all of the situations surrounding that, read up on the Anti-Deficiency Act, read up on all of this stuff and get very, very familiar with it, get very familiar with the way the government operates. There are a bunch of takeaways from this thing, but those are the two that I definitely felt like needed to be highlighted, regardless of how you feel about what's going on, what our end goals should be, our various other things. Those two points have to be understood, mandatory, in my opinion, when we're looking at this government shutdown. So thank you for listening. I will see you guys next week when we have another episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.